everybody. Welcome to Caffeination 327. This is the newbie edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We were originally intending to do a live show, but yeah, I'm not really good with live video, and so I guess I'm a little bit of a newbie in this kind of phrase, so I'm definitely the noob here. I just decided to laugh at myself, cut my losses, and do a fantastic podcast the only way I know how. So I'm here to show you the fun and interesting ways that you can use the different pieces of technology that are out there. We might end up having a little bit of a video component to the podcast coming up, but it's probably going to be after I change over ISPs, because I gotta tell you that the one that I'm on right now is slow as absolutely anything, and I think the throughput just wasn't there to get the video up and working and everything else at the same time. So we're gonna cut our losses and move forward. Hopefully you're having a great week. This is an interesting week, a fun week. My birthday is actually at the end of the week, so I'm enjoying all that. I'm getting a fun coffee gadget from my lovely wife, so I'll be able to, you know, debut that on the podcast. Hopefully get to show you some of the fun bells and whistles. Not going to ruin the surprise yet. This is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast, in case you hadn't figured that out yet. We are the place where you can go for caffeine culture and technology news, and everything is lovingly nestled along with all of its episodic little friends are over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. So, if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else you'd like to throw my general direction, please feel free to do so at caffeination@gmail.com. Alright, now the Adopt a Noob Day 2009. I think I'm just going to continue it, because I think there's so many different things that are clustered around tax day anymore that I just don't think it's working where it currently is. So we might be migrating the holiday, might be migrating it even into its own podcast. I don't even know. I want to do something else. I want to do something to make it better than what it is. So I'm open to any and all suggestions. If you like the idea, if you hate the idea, please feel free to comment or write in. Just let me know what you think of it. Just in general. So not going to spend too much time dealing with that today. I did, however, want to let you know just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Business trips are profitability killers, and an average trip can end up costing well over $1,000. But that's why I'm going to recommend GoToMeeting to you. The award-winning online meeting service is brought to you by Citrix, and at just $49 a month, it gets you unlimited online meetings. Plus, you get voiceover IP and phone conferencing all included in that very low price. You can host sales presentations, training sessions, product demos, or collaborative sessions right from the comfort of your very own computer. It's so easy, you'll have your first meeting up and running in seconds. I've used GoToMeeting, I gotta tell you, it's a seamless transition between the participants. Everything just works. There's no extra stuff that you need to install. There's no phone bridges to play around with. There's a whole lot of technology that goes into hosting a meeting correctly, and GoToMeeting just takes care of it for you, the way that you would want it. You too can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.goToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts to get your free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They're allowing us to do all kinds of fun and cool stuff here at the show, so I highly suggest they head on over there and check them out. Now, what I really want to know about all you people out there is whether or not you're enjoying some of the different articles and everything that we're writing. Some of it's funny, some of it's a little tongue-in-cheek, like some of the stuff that we actually produced today. So hopefully you can tell us what you think about that. I do have a little bit of sad news, though. If you are from Philadelphia, or if you are a fan of baseball, then you might have heard the voice of the NFL films and the voice of Philadelphia Phillies baseball for the last 39 years, Harry Callis, passed away this week. It is really hard to put into words what makes grown men cry around the city right now. This is like the grandfather that you never knew. To give you kind of an understanding, I wrote something over at my personal blog, travelersmug.com, to kind of try and fix how it is in my head, and fit in to kind of show you what he meant to the city. He really was the voice of the city, and the president of the Philadelphia Phillies came out and said, you know, today we lost our voice. And everything that I've done in podcasting, It's funny. You can trace some of the cadences back. You can trace some of the different things that I've done in voice work back to how I remember Harry doing them. Harry Callis is an unbelievable voice. They said once that John Facenda, the original voice of NFL films, was the voice of God, and that Harry Callis was the voice of the people. So I just wanted to put it out there. Hopefully Harry's up there watching a great game right now. So it's a kind of a weird place. Didn't want to spend too much time on it on the podcast, but it's really kind of hit me throughout the week, and it keeps hitting me every time I think about it. So I just had to share. I'm not sure if anybody else is even interested, but I just had to put it out there. All right, we have a bunch of quick little hits, little geek cruft, then the caffeinated bits, and we'll head you out on your way today. In honor of today's show, there's a lot of DIY stuff. There's a lot of interesting things going on. We're going to be talking about reviews, teeth, fruit snacks, fungus, archiving, baseball, Tetris, furniture, Band-Aids, Legos, ice cream, and, of course, coffee. So with all that stuff lined right up, we figure we might want to just dive right on into it. So we're going to head on into the quick hits right now. The first thing that we have up for you here is an interesting little diary from over at the Internet Storm Center. The fine folks over at Sam's are kind of trying to showcase what the problems are going to be facing us in a couple years. Because a lot of us are really spending a lot of time digitizing our music collections. You're spending all the time, you know, getting your DVDs on hard drive. The people are kind of changing the way they consume media. Everybody has digital photos now. I mean, it is quite possible for you to pull your grandfather's negatives out of a cupboard somewhere and actually look at the pictures that he took and be able to understand them and actually be able to take them to a photography lab and have them printed. I mean, that exists. That possibility exists. However, if you had a 25-year-old piece of storage media, you would be hard-pressed to find a place to get this done. And how do I know this? NASA is trying to resurrect a bunch of tapes from the 1960s, and they're detailing it over at ISC, so I just wanted to kind of show you about that, and it brings up a lot of really good points that you should probably think about. So CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays, I mean, who knows? It's all going to be up in the air, so just watch out and make sure that you always have something around to read your fond memories. Alright, next little thing we have up for you here is a fungus among us, and it's quite warm. There's a new breed of insulation and packing material that's actually out there, and the idea behind it is that they take organic matter like corn husks, I guess pieces of wicker chair, all of, you know, wood chips and stuff like that, and they actually grow a fungus in it. The fungus binds it together and actually makes it much more of a rigid form, and then they can use it for packing materials and they can use it for insulation. The only problem is the insulation isn't necessarily the best thing in the world. On the scale that actually rates the insulation, the R value, the green solate has an R value of 3, and the regular Pink Panther, pink nasty stuff that's in your walls right now has an R value of 6 or 7. So when you take that into account, you probably don't want to necessarily throw this stuff all up in your walls. And the other thing I'm thinking of is, okay, fine, so you have this deactivated fungus that's living in your walls now. What happens if you get a really good rainstorm and it gets soaked down? Is there some kind of agent that they put in there so that the fungus can't grow again or something like that? It just kind of weirds me out a little. I do, however, agree with the fine folks over at ecogeek.org that a fantastic place for this is actually in packaging. I mean, it might not look like the most pretty thing in the world, but I gotta tell you that I throw more pieces of junk packaging out. I mean, in work specifically, because I get a lot of deliveries from tech-centric items, and they are packed to the absolute nines with stuff. So this might be a really good way to do it. Alright, next little thing we have up for you here is Chrysler is actually having a touch panel dashboard. I don't know what anybody else thinks about this, but I think the more time your eyes are on the road, the better. The reason that there's buttons, and the reason that buttons and dials are kind of made to be easily reachable and everything, is that you can operate them without looking at them. So I can change the radio station without end up paying attention to the radio, but I don't need to have a touch panel over there, so I have to kind of like eyeball my way through which station I want to go to. I think that's a little bit of a tactile feedback there could kind of be a little helpful, you know? All right, next up we have Jack Thompson, the lawyer famous for suing everybody and anybody who releases violent video games, is actually starting to irritate some of the people who were on his side. There's a lot of senators who have helped sponsor bills and vote for bills that he tried to push forward who are, you know, basically trying to limit the sale of video games to minors and XYZ. And he's irritating these people by sending them continual emails and continual pieces of spam and junk mail, and he's not abiding by the laws that say if you ask to be removed, you need to remove themselves. So, he's quite possibly going to be, after he's already been disbarred in Florida for basically being a nut, he's possibly going to get sued, and they're going to attempt to pursue legal action if he doesn't even stop. So, Jack Thompson might end up being a spammer as well as a little bit of a whack job. So, the next little thing that we have up for you here, and actually I think that rounded out the quick hits. It's kind of a strange little section right now. I'm still trying to find out where it belongs correctly, so we're still trying to find our way around here. And speaking of mailing lists and spam, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com if you would like to be included on the show notes mailing list. Basically, anytime I produce a show, you get an email, and that's pretty much it. I think there's only two other times during the year where I would send you an email at all, and I don't even think I did that this last year. But so if you'd like to do that, you know, I would gladly remove you if you asked it. That's the easiest way to say it. But sorry, for some reason one of the cats is actually down here, and she's kind of walking all over the caffeination layers computer equipment. It's kind of causing all kinds of havoc. You do a show, you do it well, and you do it kind of at a base level for such a long time, and then things just start going weird. It's all in the day that I'm supposed to be, you know, some kind of bastion of technology knowledge. So I don't even know. I'm at a loss half the time around here. All right, moving right along to the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Speak and Spell is one of the most iconic. I guess it's a video game. It's one of the most iconic learning aids from my early childhood years. And to see it hacked into a Rock Band guitar and actually, you know, all kinds of switches and pots and everything is kind of sad. I mean, I like the idea of actually using the old Speak and Spell. I think it's kind of interesting that they found a reuse for it and that it's somehow finding new life. But it doesn't seem to be a very, I don't know the proper word. I don't think it seems to be a very respectful way to change it. Because, I mean, it's done sloppily. It's called Spellbinder, which is a really cool name. But it's written on with Sharpie. And when they put the different switches and glitches and little knobs and buttons and all this other stuff in there, they ruined the aesthetic of the actual guitar. So, I mean, if they had kept to the pattern, to the grid that's in there, and kind of worked with the way that the Texas Instruments people originally at the plan, I think it would have worked a lot better. It's just, so I sent a link over to the blog.makezine.com for you to check out, but hey, you know what. Alright, next little thing we have up for you here is from over at Needorama. Those funny architecture students, whatever will they do next? Well, these aren't the ones that I work with. However, there's a bunch of interesting people who decided that they would like to walk on grass wherever they go. So they made a giant hamster wheel, covered the inside with sod. I want to know how you would this thing. I mean, is there some kind of internal sprinkler going? I think of this less as architecture, more of like a performance art piece, but it's just kind of crazy, and I had to pass it along to you. So it's just one of those crazy things that's out there. Alright, if you are one of the people that's currently beset by a broadband cap, if you're one of those unfortunate souls, the usage that you actually try and get out of it is limited by the cable provider. So they're all cable. So Time Warner Cable is actually the most heinous of offenders that are out there right now. They have incredibly draconian pricing schemes that have been pushed forward, and they're trying to go with this strange tiered internet, which has network privacy and network network neutrality people all up in a tizzy. Basically, because if you use Time Warner's own streaming video service, it doesn't count against the cap, which gives them an unfair advantage to people who are being basically forced to subscribe to their service because there's lack of options in the area. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what comes out of this, but basically there's been a law introduced to ban broadband caps in general. They're saying that they're unconstitutional because they create a tiered internet, and it's going to be fun to see how this works. They're saying that it actually limits free speech, which I go back and forth on this. I know that I personally am for a neutral network. I would love for net neutrality to actually be the status quo, but I don't know how I feel about adding extra legislation to absolutely everything that's out there. But I do think that you kind of have to smack down the big businesses every once in a while when they start playing around with this kind of stuff. Because as much as I hate, you know, useless laws, there's some laws that just have to kind of be pushed forward. Because it's really going to harm innovation if they put that kind of stuff out there. So, I don't know. It's a weird place to be, and I'm more than happy to open up discussion, and so we'll see exactly what happens. All right, moving right along. Amazon said that it was a glitch. I have my own ideas, but I don't know about you. All right, if you were unaware of what happened over the past weekend, there was actually a glitch in which a large contingent of books basically dealing with a couple different subjects and all having to deal with the gray areas of sexuality and human sexuality were actually kind of dropped off of Amazon sales charts. They were kind of pushed behind a walled barrier. And it was done for what most of these people assumed was kind of done on purpose, and they were being persecuted. Say that Amazon said that it was a massive glitch and that there were over 57,000 books that were affected. I don't necessarily know if it was a glitch or if it's possible that somebody was ending up gaming the system so that they were marking specific things as being offensive because they were offensive to them personally. So it's possible that, you know, through a series of botnet computers or something like that, somebody could have gone in and started marking things as offensive just in crazy numbers and trying to push things down in the sales charts. I mean, that's happened with other things that are out there. I mean, just things as simple as, you know, like voting for something on American Idol. I mean, there's a whole host of examples out there where, you know, kind of the power has been abused and it's been voted over and over and over again to kind of try to get a desired outcome. So this could have been one of those. And Amazon, unfortunately, is kind of doing the bad PR thing right now. And they're saying, oh, it was just a glitch. People don't accept that as an answer when you're a multinational corporation like Amazon, because you're supposed to be above that. You're supposed to be a little bit more open about what exactly happened. So they're saying, oh, well, we're not sure if everything's fixed. And it's raising a lot of ire from a community that is being quite vocal right now. And it's going to be interesting to see exactly what comes up with this. So, and that being said, I'm open to the fact that it may have been a glitch. I'm open to the fact that it may have been an outside influence. I just wish that I had a little bit more information from Amazon itself to actually make an informed decision. I'm not going to be one of the ones running around ramp and screaming and yelling and saying, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. But I'm glad that they were called on it. And second of all, I really do think that, you know, they need to be a little bit, actually a lot more transparent about what actually happened. So hopefully they can. All right, from that relatively serious topic onto a slightly lighter side of things, Pac-Man. Who likes them? I do. I know a lot of people out there who like them. The only thing is, this is a package of Band-Aids. So, it's a collectible tin. This is the Pac-Man bandages. The only problem that I see with it is the bandages kind of go against Pac-Man canon. They don't necessarily all follow the same color scheme. There's like a different ghost. There's like a red background one. There's a white background one. I would think that maybe a bandage full of power pellets would be kind of fun, or, you know, maybe like the corner side or something like that. I think they really could have used an interesting little thing there and kind of changed it around. So who knows what they could have done. Instead, they just have, you know, just a bunch of little graphics on there. So I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. So I decided to pass it along. All right, moving right along. There's an interesting little article from over at geekygadgets.com. But it's a way for you to reboot your couch. It's three pillows totaling, if you wanted to buy all pillows, they are actually $55 from Etsy. However, you too could probably make your own if you had a pair of scissors and some felt. It's Alt-Control-Delete for pillows. There were just three giant white pillows, like shams, throws, whatever you want to call them. No tassels or anything on them. Very manly looking. It said Alt-Control-Delete right across them. So it looked like three little keys. I thought it was awesome, so I had to pass it along. Another little thing that I thought was interesting, which is kind of a different take on Office Tetris. If you've ever seen me at work, you would know that I have a lot of stuff that goes in very small parts of the office. Like, there's a lot of paper that has to be stored. There's a lot of carts that move in and out. And it's a constant game of Tetris to get everything in such a way where it kind of collapses down. So that being said, this is a kind of a vertical office Tetris, and these are actually squared off pieces of furniture that are used and put together in any kind of configuration to actually allow you to create your own space. I love this idea. I think it's a great, interesting look for a geeky apartment or whatever else you would want to have. I don't know if there any if they've gotten beyond the design stage, but I think it could really work. I think this would be a rather interesting thing to see in practice. The only issue that I have with it is that where they kept to the color situation, they kind of messed up a couple of different blocks. I understand it's probably just to get larger shelf space, but there has to be some way that they can still stick to the idea of what a Tetris block is supposed to look like. But otherwise, fantastic. Alright, we have another little thing from, this one's from over at nerdapproved.com. It's a lovely set of pillows for your bedroom. This one's called Beauty and the Beast, literally. One pillow says Beauty, another pillow says Beast. I'm half thinking of getting these because these two full-size pillows are actually only $35. I'm half thinking of getting these pillowcases just because, you know, for the standard marital jokes. My anniversary's coming up, so it might be something to look into. I thought it was pretty funny, so I thought I'd decided to pass it on. And the last little thing that we have for you here in the GeekCraft section of the Caffeination Podcast is a Lego boombox. And what is a Lego boombox? This is one of the first times I have ever seen a Lego-branded product that does it right. From start to finish, everything fits canon. Everything looks like a Lego block. This is a clock radio for all intents and purposes. It looks like a giant blue block. It's one of the 8-block things, so it fits the same form factor. All of the buttons are blue. Everything is blue. The display is blue, and it has the eight knobs right across the top where it would hook in. It's perfect. I could not have imagined a Lego boombox any different. The only other thing that I could have possibly thought of is if you had add-on speakers and they went on top and actually clicked into the knobs, I think that would be unbelievable. But that being said, I think it was an incredibly good job. All right, that about wraps it up for the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are going to move right into the Caffeinated Bits section here. Just in case you were curious, I wanted to let you know that this podcast is available over at www.caffeination.com. Don't know where you happen to be listening to it, so I figure I'd remind you around halfway through, just in case you walked into the room and one of your fine friends was listening to this wonderful podcast. All right, moving right along, the Lego Fruit Snacks. I actually got these for Easter from my parents. So I thank them for that, first of all. And second of all, I decided to write a fun little review. I've been writing so many serious articles, and, you know, every once in a while you need a little nonsense. And I mean more than we did on the April Fool's show. So these are Lego Fruit Snacks. They have an interesting little box, and they have an interesting little shape to them. The only problem is they're not perfect Lego pieces. They are the four bangers. You know, they're the one with the four knobs across the top, supposed to resemble like squashed cubes just a little bit. But on the bottom of each fruit piece, they kind of go away from what a Lego piece is actually supposed to look at because they're flat. There's no way for one Lego piece to plug into another. You can have them sitting there, and they look very nice and everything, but it's just not entirely a Lego piece. So I like the idea. Unfortunately, this just seems to be a little bit of sloppy branding. Lego's gonna say, oh yeah, these are official Lego brand fruit snacks. But they're missing that extra little panache that makes them real. I think that they dropped the ball a couple of different places on these. First off, in the packaging. If they, instead of just having the standardized packaging that industry people would do, you know, where they have the enlarged picture of the Legos across the front, and then they have other things like that, you know, the dancing perfect pieces across the front, I think they could have turned the box itself into a Lego brick like object. So they could have had like the green base plate for the back, and everywhere they wanted to put information, they could have had like another series of blocks there to actually, you know, color code the background. And on the front of it, if they wanted to have product shots, that would be fine, but they should be, you know, it should all be squared off. It should all be, you know, right angles, and not, you know, the crooked and them falling all over the place. That's not the gestalt of what Lego is. Lego is an interesting yet beautifully organized way of designing things. So I think they really missed out on that. And then the other thing that is where, you know, they needed to have different sizes That's my only other complaint about the fruit snacks. Other than that, they taste like fruit snacks. What do you want? So if they had gummy bears or something like that, I could see it. It would be awesome. I just had one little suggestion for them. You know, they could actually create like a fruit snack Lego empire. If they wanted to do the fruit roll-ups as the green base plates, they could have these blocks out there. They could turn the gummy bears into Lego minifigs. I mean, come on, people. You need to think outside the box. Even if the box does have Legos, you need to go above and beyond if you're doing something like that. There's so many different places out there you could have taken this, and you kind of just put a bland product out there with interesting branding. Other than that, I don't really see anything from it. All right, moving right along to another review I recently wrote. Actually, I finished it up this afternoon. It's on the Colgate Wisp. It's a disposable single-use toothbrush that you can actually take around with you. It works entirely without water, so you don't need you don't need to rinse, you don't need to do anything. You just pick it up, you peel back the foil backing, and you go to town. You brush your teeth. You can even pick your teeth. It's a little gum stimulator toothpick on the back end, and then there's a tongue scraper in there. So it's designed for people who need fresh breath. And why was I put up for it? It's not because I have rank breath. It's because I have coffee breath. I love coffee. So if you're on the way to a meeting and it's a very high end meeting, you have your two choices. You can either bring a set of mints or you can leave the coffee at home. I need the coffee to be active. I need the coffee to be kind of a catalyst for my ideas. And I like the idea of the disposable toothbrush. The only problem that I have with them is that the toothbrushes themselves are not actually recyclable. Despite the fact that they're plastic, they are plastic number 7, according to the website, which means that there's multiple kinds of plastic in each toothbrush itself, and that there's very few municipalities anywhere that actually has the capability of recycling these. So that's a little bit of a bummer, but then I kind of looked back over it and said, you know what, in this case, I don't really necessarily need to bring my own portable toothbrush with me all the time. I don't need to have the toothbrush, the travel toothpaste, and a bottle of water so that I can properly brush my teeth. If there's a meeting coming up that big, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to take care of it. But because I actually do have a full set of teeth brushing equipment in work. But this is the kind of thing that you would need for on-the-go spot cleaning. It's not something that you could use to replace your everyday, but just wanted to pass it along in case you found it interesting. All right, moving right along to some of the more interesting stuff that's out there. Over at the design blog, they have a beautiful espresso machine. This one is called IMO Coffee. It's an IMO coffee maker. Sorry, it enriches the coffee making experience. This is a design idea that allows you to really pull a shot. So I don't know if you understand what that means, but when you're actually when you're creating a shot of espresso, the term is to pull it. Because of the original way that the espresso machines were created, you actually had to pull levers and things like that, and it actually created it. So this machine is actually like an articulated arm, so that when you grab the one end and you pull it towards you, it actually pours coffee out from the bottom joint. So if you imagine some kind of robot in the middle of like an auto manufacturing plant, you can kind of get an idea as to what this thing sort of looks like, almost, but not really. I mean, it's almost there, but not perfectly. So I just had to pass it along because I thought it was beautiful. When it will be available, it's going to be $130 for a single cup brewing station. They have a couple small pictures where it's actually in real life, not just lovely design pieces that are out there and rendered. So it looks a little bit less interesting in real life than it does in the rendered versions, but it looks just awesome. So I had to pass it along because it really is a beautiful coffee maker. Next little thing we have up for you here is over at 7gadgets.com. It's a triple canister ice cream maker. If you've ever tried to make ice cream, where you sit there and you crank with the salt on the ice and everything like that, and you try and slowly churn the milk into a cream, a thick cream, then it takes a lot of work and a lot of time, and you can only do it one flavor at a time. This is an interesting little contraption that allows you to do it three smaller batches, so you too can have Neapolitan. You can have your chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry all from one contraption. I personally think it would probably be a little bit cheaper to buy the ice cream at the supermarket at this point, but who am I to stand in the way of progress? So here you go. This is your triple canister ice cream maker. No word yet on the price. I was trying to find that, and I keep looking around, but it doesn't seem to actually have an easy place to find it. All right, moving right along, there's a strange... This is absolutely... the strangest thing I've ever seen bacon used for. It's a bacon gun. It's a replica of an AK-47 made from wire and bacon. Yeah, that's about it. I don't know what else to say other than the fact that it's kind of nasty looking. I'm a huge fan of bacon. I love the taste of bacon, but it's kind of sickening to actually look at it in a meat gun form. So just wanted to kind of push it out there that this exists, and if you think it's funny, it's a BAK-47, so it's a bacon 47. Just thought it was interesting. The gentleman who made that probably has a couple issues to work through. All right, moving right along. In case you are one of the fine folks who bought a Senseo, you might want to just take an eyeball at the next little story we have there. Philips is actually recalling a select set of Senseo machines, try saying that 6 times fast, because they might explode. Well, they only explode if there's a buildup of chalk on the inside and there's a power surge. It causes the boiler to explode. So you might probably want to descale your Senseo, and you might also want to check the story and actually click through to the link on to check out to see if your Senseo is one of the ones that's actually affected. That's kind of a big problem. I've only ever had one issue with my espresso maker when I didn't put the arm in correctly. I didn't put the actual thing in correctly, and I kind of walked away for a second. The pressure that builds up on the inside is so immense that it actually popped the arm off, threw down, and actually broke one of the cups. So I've been a lot more careful since then. So hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of a warning. I mean, to give you an example, the espresso machine that I actually have has 14 bars of pressure inside the tiny little chamber. That's 14 times the atmosphere at sea level. That's an intense pressure. So it can turn things into projectiles and shrapnel quite easily. So you might want to just take a quick look, especially if you have little kids and they're trying to learn how to use the Senseo. I've seen a lot of people with the Keurig machines. I know a lot of people are really happy with them. That they don't seem to be affected. It's just the tiny little Senseos. All right, last little thing that we have for you here is this is probably one of the most well-designed herb gardens that I've ever seen. The reason that I'm putting it in the caffeinated and consumable bits section is because I love the idea of having fresh herbs in your kitchen. I know my cats are going to eat them as soon as the fresh herbs start to grow in the pot that I have in our garage. We're doing the whole 9 yards. We got the whole vegetable garden ready to go. I'm just seeding everything right now. But this is the first time I've ever seen. It's like a lovely little undulating shape that actually has a compartment for scissors in it. And why are the scissors important? Because if you start trying to pull the leaves off everything and you have your lovely potted soil on the inside, it's quite possible that you're going to end up dragging dirt across the countertop. So if you just have the scissors and it's already growing on the inside of your house, you can just snip off whatever piece that you would like to use and go about your merry way. It's 2750 pounds, so I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it's just pounds. So I think that's around like $95, or actually I think it's closer to $50, but it's going to be... that's the kind of thing I like. For kitchens, I like something to be beautiful, functional, and have that just extra little something that sets it apart from the other pieces out there. So hopefully you enjoyed the show today. Hopefully we have that extra little something that sets us apart from the other shows that are out there. If you are looking for the podcast, please feel free to head on over to caffeination.com. We have a lovely mailing list from caffeination@gmail.com, which, coincidentally enough, is where you can also get a hold of me if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail. That about wraps it up here for today. We're coming in just a little bit under time and under budget. This is the new B edition, because I still have a lot to learn about trying to do live shows. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. Stay caffeinated, people.